There are thousands of stories waiting to be told. Some that have never been heard before. And so, I'm here to tell those stories. Stories to thrill, to sadden, to excite, and to educate and annoy. I am your storyteller, so let's get on with the story, shall we? Welcome back to another show. I hope you enjoy this one. It's on Creepy Encounters. So, without further ado, if you're sensitive to this kind of material or it's not your thing, then please, by all means, skip this episode. There may be content not suitable for those who are more squeamish. I met a serial killer in Virginia and was almost his victim. By Throwaway Creep 0911. This is a long one, so bear with me. 2 years ago, I was working for a company as a person who measures houses. Most people haven't heard of it, but it's where essentially you have an iPad. You go to people's homes and draw up floor plans and measure rooms for carpet, hardwood flooring projects, and anyone can request one. I was 25-year-old female at the time, one of the few females that work in this position. I was actually really good at the job, so they gave me a lot of work. And I usually hit between 10 to 14 houses a day, driving over multiple towns. The house was my last house of the day, in the middle of nowhere, and I was exhausted. When I got there, I was incredibly annoyed because the customer wasn't home and was late for his appointment. 10 minutes later, he pulls up next to my car. He was a middle-aged man, balding, wearing normal job office attire, with a tie and everything. He seemed a bit awkward, but was apologetic and let me into his home. Upon entering the house, it was unbelievably spotless and organized. Minimal furniture and smelled like cleaning supplies. It didn't strike me as odd at first. He had two cats lounging in the living room. He first started acting weird as I was directed into the first bedroom. He mentioned, "Wow, my cats love you. They don't take to strangers like this usually." But his cats literally didn't move and come near me the whole time. I just nodded and smiled. Well, I got to work scaling up the master bedroom on my iPad. He started inquiring about the electronics I was using. "Do they keep track of where you are on that thing?" Immediate red flag. "Yeah, my boss knows how long each job should take based on the scope of work. It's incredible technology." I lied without missing a heartbeat. He agreed and said it was amazing. "Be careful. Don't touch the gun on the nightstand. It might go off," he chuckled. Talk about immediate spine chill. I looked up from the iPad and sure enough, there was a handgun on the nightstand. I knew instantly that I needed to behave like nothing happened, was triggering alarms in me. He directed me to the second bedroom, and he said the exact same thing, warning me that there was a gun on the nightstand. That indeed was there. This was the moment I knew I was in danger. At first I thought it was just anxiety around guns, but at this point the tension building between us was undeniable. There were only two bedrooms on the scope of work. I hastily met up with him in the kitchen and began running down the steps, but he interrupted me. "Could you measure the basement stairs? I forgot to add them on the list. I think I might want to carpet them in the future." My heart dropped, but my stupid customer service conditioned brain couldn't figure out how to get away without saying no. He led me to the basement door, and you guys, there was no way he was planning on doing anything with those stairs. They were plank wooden stairs, L-shaped, going down, leading into an unfinished basement. Unfortunately, in order to get an accurate measurement, I had to walk all the way down them into the basement. Meanwhile, he stood blocking the doorway with a smile on his face, mentioning again about whether or not my boss knew where I was, which I shortly replied yes. Once I got into the basement, I scanned the room quickly. There was not one, but seven deep freezers lining the wall. The middle of the room was low lit, hanging ceiling light, revealing an old television set, VHS tapes scattered on the floor, and an old recliner facing the TV. Behind the set were two white shelves full of VHS tapes. In this moment, I knew one of two things was going to happen. He was either going to let me go, or he was going to push me down the effing stairs. I held my breath, put on a smile on my face, and attempted to act my way out of the situation. Began to climb the stairs. All I could hear was my heartbeat in my ears. He was still blocking the door. No smile this time. As I got to about the fifth stair from the top, I felt him hesitate, which made me hesitate as well. You could cut the tension with a knife, and I finally understood that expression. To my absolute shock and relief, after 4 seconds, he stepped aside. I made a beeline towards the front door, not saying a word. And then he stopped me again, saying, "Oh, before you go, won't you give my cats a treat? They loved you so much." He was holding a bag of cat treats. I quickly gave his cats a treat and thanked him, and practically ran out of the house, and definitely ran to my car. The second I got out of the driveway, I had the most intense panic attack and cried. I tried to call my boss, but I was in a dead zone. The truth of the matter is that my boss would not have noticed I was missing for at least 24 hours. I didn't route my day the next work day. Yes, he would have eventually caught, as it was my last known location, but I would have been long dead. I suffered PTSD over this experience and couldn't sleep for a week. I was petrified to work my job and had no choice. This day still haunts me. The worst part, I was so effed up and jumbled in denial over the experience, I forgot to write down the address. Fair Bluff, North Carolina, by
Lil Inkwell.
I feel like this is pretty mild in comparison to a lot of the stuff I've read on here, but this stuff was spooky and I think about it a lot, so here goes. In 2017, I was a junior in college and friends and I went to spring break to Myrtle Beach. Being broke and wanting to save money on flights, we decided to drive there from our school in New Hampshire, as splitting the cost of gas would be cheaper. So we piled five of us into my friend's Hyundai hatchback and drove the 17 hours. We were almost there already, and we were driving through this little town I will never forget in my whole entire life called Fair Bluff, North Carolina. We got there bright and early in the morning. First and foremost, the second we got in there, it looked absolutely like a morbid sight. Just the year before, the town had been devastated by flooding and Hurricane Matthew. Broken down houses all rotting from water damage, and just an apocalyptic, and everyone in the car agreed that the energy in the place was dreary. Despite this, we were driving slowly because we couldn't look away, so this memory plays in slow motion in my mind. Second, I'm from New York and went to college in New Hampshire, so was oblivious to the fact that North Carolina was home to some vultures. So as we were driving slowly, we see a big old animal we couldn't quite make out being eaten by vultures. And then we come across like three more on the right side of the road. This definitely adds to the spook factor, but everyone was still composed. We keep driving and eventually drive by a hearse, which sounds normal, but the hearse was pulled over on the side of the road, and there was nothing around for a good 2 to 3 miles but open fields and abandoned decaying houses, and two men were literally loading a casket into it, just on the side of the road, no funeral home for miles. So, of course, we were questioning it, but ultimately, just eager to get out of there at that point. The freakiness of it all came to a head when we drove by a literal cross burning. We drove by a cross that was pretty far out in the field, and it was so huge, we saw it clearly. It must have been at least 10 feet tall, wooden, and it was scorched and partially burnt. It's still stuck in the ground, and at that point, we just hightailed it. And we were happy to see a welcome sign in the next town. We shook it off and proceeded to have fun at spring break. At the end, on the way back, however, it started to snow. We were driving through Fair Bluff again. But this time it was pitch black. Not a single light, except for the headlights. The car was hydroplaning like crazy, and we were dangerously low on gas. We got out of there okay, but I felt genuine fear, and first, and even more, the second time I drove through there. You will never catch me rolling through there again. A Man Tried to Kidnap Me by Cashmere Blue. This happened ages ago, 16 years ago, but somehow I find myself thinking of this situation at least once a week. So I'm from a very tiny country in Eastern Europe, and there you don't get people being kidnapped. People do disappear without a trace sometimes, but usually it's associated with them being mentally ill or elderly, forgetting where they live, etc. Also, not many people talk about mental health, kids being molested, and other things like that, which are widely spoken about in the rest of Europe. So, it was 11-year-old me going to my first day of middle school, and it was also the first year I started going alone to school. I have moved to the school where my brother went, but we never went together because he was always going with his friends. There's a 7-year difference between me and my brother, and we weren't very close. Now, I was walking through an area that I've walked a million times with my mom when she would drop me off to school. You would have to walk across a tiny park. It was so small that you would see the end of it. Plenty of trees, and top part had a private tennis club that I would always go through. And then down below was a pedestrian road. Below the road was a stretch of grass and trees, followed by a road for cars. At the bottom of the park was the biggest and had plenty of benches for swings for kids and small summer theater, a stage with some benches. As kids, we used to always walk on the road where cars would drive. Everyone did. My other classmates, me and my mom, my brother, his friends, etc. This time was different because I was alone. It was also early and no one was around. So I've almost gotten to the end of the road and crossed horizontally the park when the small van pulls up in front of me and kind of cuts my path. A guy with a big round belly in his late 30s comes out. Now the driver's seat is on the left, so he's very close to me and he probably easily could have touched me. He then proceeds to, very insecurely, or unsure, to open the side door. I couldn't see inside, and he instructs me to get in. Now, obviously, I freeze, and I didn't want to be rude, so I just bluntly said no. He was looking at me nervous and kept glancing around, and then he says, "I said come with me." Stupid me doesn't run, I just say no again, and then he slides the door shut and speeds away. I then continued to school. I was sort of frightened, but not much in that moment because I was confused because I couldn't really understand the situation. As a kid, my parents always told me never get in a car with strangers, but that was it. Never basically explaining what those strangers do, just that they steal kids. But dang, no one talked about gruesome things that such guys would do. It honestly felt like this whole situation was happening for ages, when in reality it was probably under 3 minutes. I also think I might have been the first or one of the first people he tried to get to come with him because of how unsure he was behaving and how insecure he was acting. Thinking about it all now, I have infinite scenarios at how this encounter could have ended. Attempted home invasion stopped by a friendly stray dog. by Sharp Leak 2473. Longtime lurker, and this is my first post on Reddit. Obligatory, this did not happen recent, but happened 6 years ago. Pardon my English, it's not my first language. So when I was about 10, we'd recently moved to a new home in a sparsely populated rural area. We set up motion sensing lights and cameras with door alarms at every entry point. Important for later on. So there was a lot of stray dogs in my area. I took to feeding them 2 to 3 times a day. My parents did not like dogs, but let me play with them anyway. Important later on. I ended up forming a close bond with this tall, big white dog who I called Ghost. He followed me on my walk to school and etc. One day, about 7 or 8 p.m., I was home alone since about 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. I had a big bag of dog biscuits and a cell phone in my hand when I walked out to pull out dinner in the bowl outside of my house for the stray puppies by a nearby field. I noticed a car parked exactly outside my house a few feet down from the compound wall. Once I emptied the biscuits, I turned around to find the car pulling up next to me and the driver asking me if my parents were home. He was their friend and wanted to talk to them. I innocently replied, saying that they weren't and that they'd be home soon, and asked for his name. He got out of the car and walked towards me, talking all the while. I felt nervous and walked into the main gate. This man wedged his shoe between the metal gate and said, "You're home alone, aren't you?" with a creepy smile. I was frozen with fear, and made a mad dash to the main door, slamming it shut behind me. He stood outside the yard, looking straight into my eyes with that creepy smile of his. I panicked and started running around, shutting all the doors in a frenzy. I didn't have a phone, and the landline hadn't been set up. Newly constructed house and all. So stupid 10-year-old me thought my parents would be home soon anyway. Delusional? The cell phone I mentioned earlier did not have a SIM card. It just had been given to me as a phone to play games on. I saw him get into his car and go away in a few minutes, so I relaxed and sat in the hall, playing Minecraft on my PC. There was a huge glass window, a French window, behind where I was sitting. After about half an hour, I had a weird feeling, like someone was in the house with me. I turned around to see creepy man standing outside the French window with a long stick/pole looking dead straight into my eyes. I let out a scream and pressed the alarm button in the hall. The alarm went off outside the house, and this seemed to trigger the weirdo at my window, and he started attempting to break the window with his stick. I was crying in fear and ran and hid under my dining room table. This creep had jumped the compound wall and would have broken the glass windows in less than 5 minutes to gain entry into the house. I shut my eyes and ears and hoped my parents would be home soon. Stupid childish of me. I heard a growling noise and looked to the window to find the stray dog Ghost, and with his jaws around the guy's leg, dragging him off balance. He began beating the dog with the stick he'd been carrying, terrifying me further. hearing the commotion of the neighbors, who probably called the cops, arrived and managed to restrain the weirdo. I was barely coherent at this time and refused to communicate with them, hiding under the apparent safety of the dining room table. My parents arrived about 9 p.m., accompanied by the police, who arrived almost an hour late. They took him away, and we still don't know who or why he attempted his antics that night. I was never left alone at home after that incident, and my parents became dog lovers overnight. By the way, we adopted Ghost, and he lived for a good long life at our farmhouse at a different location. To this day, I still love dogs / strays around my neighborhood and do the best to take care of them.
It wasn't my housemate. By professional claim, 14. I live with 5 other girls. We all have our separate rooms, and we only share the bathroom in the kitchen. We're not a very tight group, truth be told. I barely know some of them, since a couple girls came and went in rapid succession. As such, I had only spoken to the housemate in question about 2 times before. For the sake of the story, I'll call her Emily. Emily usually stays in her room. Whenever I see her in the hall, she'll basically exchange a few words with me before locking herself away again. She's skittish, but that's fine. I'm a little shy as well, which is probably why I never made such an effort to get to know her. Usually, when I walk down the stairs, I'll catch her quickly walking back into her room and closing the door. If I climb the stairs without making too much of a ruckus, I can sometimes hear her singing softly. It's always a bit atonal and a little off-putting, but the walls are thick. When I'm in my room, I can't hear her, so it's never bothered me much. I always thought Emily was a bit strange, but after what happened, I've grown a bit weary of her. This one particular evening, I got home quite late, about 2 a.m. I'd had dinner with a close friend, minding a safe distance, of course. And it was a bit tipsy because I'd had some drinks. My room is all the way at the top floor, so I have to pass all the other rooms before I reach my own. I stumbled up the stairs in the almost pitch black because I didn't want to wake anyone up by turning on the light. Just as I got to the top of the 2nd flight of stairs, I heard some movement. Normally, I wouldn't have been very alert because the house is old. The stairs creak so badly, it feels like someone's always walking right behind you when you climb them. This time, though, I had one of those weird feelings that something was different. Emily's door faces the stairwell. When I focused my eyes, I got the scare of my life because I saw a head peeping in from between the door gaps straight at me, about 2 meters away. Since I was a bit drunk, I shrugged it away and whispered, "Hi," a bit awkward. She didn't say anything in return, she just
pulled her head back slowly. I could barely see her in the dark, but it was disturbing to be observed from behind a door, and then see the head pull back into the room. I had to pass her door in order to get to the last set of stairs. Still, alcohol makes one more bold, I suppose. In the moment, I figured she must have been annoyed that I woke her up and thought nothing more of it. I began climbing the stairs, but then I looked behind me one more time. I'm not sure what prompted me to. She was looking at me from behind the door again. This was so close to her door that I saw her long hair and the outline of her head. I thought it was a bit creepy. But I'm not a confrontational person, so I hurried up the stairs and slept with my bedroom door locked that night. The next morning, I barely remembered the encounter in the hallway. If anything, I thought I must have exaggerated it because of my tipsiness. A week or so later, I spoke to another housemate in the kitchen. We began talking about the other girls living in the house and how well we knew them. I was reminded of the late night encounter and brought it up to her jokingly, saying Emily and I must have freaked each other out in the hallway late last night. Then she frowned. But Emily has gone home for Christmas. She's been with her parents the last 3 weeks. I told her again which door it was, thinking I must have had it wrong. But she insisted it couldn't have been Emily's door because she hadn't been home. I texted Emily just to be sure, and it puzzled me. I asked her something along the lines of, "Hey, a bit of a weird question, but have you been home in the past week? I thought I spoke to you in the hallway last night." Her response came back a few hours later, a simple, "No, I haven't been home." And so the plot thickened. I thought about contradicting her, but how can I argue with her denying she's been home at all? Still, I know what I saw. I wasn't so drunk that I would make up something like this. I don't know whether to believe her or not. I'm definitely a bit uneasy now. Crazy/sleepwalking roommates, something paranormal, or simply my drunken imagination? You be the judge. Blood-curdling screams wakes up the entire street. By Haunted Willow. This happened a little over a year ago. I had just moved into the apartment for the school year. The apartment complex takes up almost the entire street. Across from it are very old houses, and college students rent them for a term. My friend lived in the apartment up the street, and I lived in the apartment down the street. Okay, here we go. This was the first night I spent in the new apartment. My bedroom faces the street. I went to bed about 11 o'clock, with the window open since the breeze felt nice. A few hours later, I woke up to screaming. A man, he sounds like he's burning up on the inside. It was absolutely terrible. and constant, as if he's in great pain. I jump out of bed and peek through the blinds. The screaming continues, and several young men in pajamas come out of the house across the street. It's hard to tell where the screaming is coming from. I hear someone shout, "Are you okay? Should we call the police?" The screaming continues. I call 911 and shakily tell them what's happening. I'm half asleep and can't remember my new address. But the operator tells me they already received several calls and the police are on their way. The screaming continues and sets my teeth on edge. The people across the street appear to be on their phones, and some are cautiously walking toward the sound. At this point, I'm wondering if someone's being murdered. I text my friend and ask if he hears us. He texts back right away. The screaming's coming from the next door neighbor. At first, I found it hard to believe that, since it's so loud, and I'm several apartments down the street. Then he texts me, and he heard someone tumble down the stairs. The police show up, and so does the ambulance. There are police outside my apartment, but most are up the street where my friend lives. The ambulance comes too, and they wheel out my friend's next door neighbor, a young guy who isn't a student, on a gurney to take him away. At this point, he isn't screaming. We try to go back to sleep, but we're quite shaken. I have an adrenaline rush and I can't get the sound out of my head. Later, my friend and I heard that screaming man had been taking some sort of drug that had been bad somehow, and had a terrible trip. The screaming man still lives in the apartment building, and I see him every now and then. That'll wrap up this episode. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. I hope I didn't creep you out too much. Unless that's what you like, then I hope I creeped you out a lot. Until next week, watch out for those creepers.